The Burrows of Berea is a conversational podcast.
We study the Bible and we talk about it.
Not all of us are of the same faith.
And one of us doesn't have a faith.
But we still love one another, and we're going to continue to talk about these things.
The things we believe in and the things we believe about what we read in the Bible. Not all of these are necessarily true. Some of it is opinion and speculation. Thank you for
listening and speculating with us.
There you go. That was good. Yes.
You are listening to the Burrows of Berea.
Well, welcome back to the Burrows of Berea. I am Sarita, the Edge Edgerton. And to my left, behind the glass, is Andy Rocketman Bishop.
I just realized there's like a lot of words you need to say before my name.
Mm-hmm.
You're like, he's wearing a white shirt. He's behind glass. It's not that kind of glass.
He's got really cool Converse on and a dog standing at his legs. I mean, we can describe you all the way
ankle
down.
Biter.
Ankle biter. And across from me, those bass tones you hear is straight out of Compton, Ralph Hicks.
Represent.
And right next to him is Rick Big Daddy Cotta.
Oh, yeah.
And now you're stepping on his thing. Come on, man.
I don't know. It sounded like it kind of gave it like a nice sort of.
Yeah. It's true.
Gave it a richness, if you will.
They work from well together.
Yeah, see, that's right.
And praise the Lord, you heard that
like,
voice.
Careful now.
Like
be
the
careful.
Pens or something.
Yeah. Be careful how you support there.
If you heard that voice, you know now that I'm not the only female in the studio today. We have Tiziana, Mom So Hard Severse. You have not been forgotten, but how are you momming so hard today?
Clean your plate. Clean your plate, y'all.
I just did.
Yeah, look at me. I've been cleaning it way too long.
Come on now.
Well, we're glad you're back. We are continuing with our Walk in the Spirit series that we have done. We have two under our belts just to kind of give you a quick review. We did the first one was on the works in the flesh, works of the flesh, and how they war against the fruit of the Spirit. And if y'all notice, I am wearing my Fruit of the Spirit shirt today. I wish we were on video sometimes, but I have all the fruit on here. So I thought that was pretty cool.
I know. I saw that when I walked in. I like that.
I found this really cool t-shirt company. I'll see if they'll sponsor us. But anyway, so, and then the second one, we started talking about what it meant to abide and what it meant to bear fruit and to be fruitful. And we talked a little bit about love, to quote the Beatles, because all you need is love. Hashtag not a Beatles fan, but I do quote them from now on and again. I know.
I didn't know it's physically possible. I've met other people in my life, like one, maybe two.
Yeah, one or
two
people.
I'm not a Beatles fan. You're just like, I don't think you understand. It's just like none of it.
There's not one.
They're very early stuff.
Not everyone's musically inclined.
Like Hard Day's Night.
Yeah, some of those. I Want to Hold Your Hand. Some of the early stuff. Yes,
okay,
I do.
Okay,
I do.
Okay.
Oh, she doesn't like the druggies. That's what it is, isn't it? That's what it is.
I have to tell
Eleanor Rigby. That's a great song.
She doesn't like it.
That's
when
okay. You know what? She's allowed. You know what? Let's back up, Sarita. She's allowed.
You're allowed to not like sounds because of the things people that made them did, I suppose, but it's not the sound's fault.
I have a hard time with Ben Folds every now and again because I just love his music, but I've heard he's such a total jerk.
Yeah,
he is not. I have seen him. I set up his piano in concert when he was in. I used to work for a company that set the lights and the music and then everything up, and he may be that to other people, but he wasn't to the crew.
He was such a relief.
He was very, very nice and respectful to everyone.
Oh, that's such a relief.
It might be because he likes to tune his piano himself. He doesn't let people touch his piano. Somebody touched his piano and he's like, don't touch it. And maybe they thought it.
Is that a metaphor?
No.
Touched his piano?
If he's cool to the help, that's most of what you need to know.
That's exactly it. Yeah. Bottom line, we're
done.
How
you treat those people who serve you.
Oh, thank God. I can let that one go. What a relief. I'm nice. So glad I came tonight.
I
feel lighter right now because I do love Ben Folds.
I was going to say we solved that problem.
That does make more sense, Sarita, now too, like thinking about that. Because it's not the music. I was like, how do you not like the beat?
Well, she might not.
Yeah.
I don't.
She's allowed to not like the music. You know what? I'm going to say this out loud. Not a huge Rolling Stones fan.
Me either.
Yeah, most of it's not that good, though.
They're not that great. And he's not that good looking. How did he get all those chicks?
Right? Benedict Cumberbatch, too. I'm like, what is going on here? Y'all look like aliens.
Steven Tyler are twins. You know that, right?
Him, too.
Lips.
But I like overrated. I do like Aerosmith.
Hashtag overrated.
Thank you. I do like Aerosmith.
Aerosmith, I like their music. Okay. I also don't like when people smack their food and chew their cereal where I can hear it. So I might have a misoph. What do you call that?
That's a thing. There's a name. I don't know the name.
It's amazing that Steven Tyler could have a kid like he did.
Oh gosh, she's gorgeous.
She looks just like her dad, though. Did you know that she didn't? She's beautiful.
Well, she was raised by Todd Rundgren, and she didn't know Steven was her dad until she was a teenager, and she was at a party with Steven Tyler's kids, and she came home. And she's like, "Mom, we need to talk."
Yeah.
And Mom said, "Yeah, I kind of had a used to date him and kind." Had a re thing, but
Steven Tyler know she was his? I know we're way off in the stratosphere.
He didn't know. He didn't know either. Mother never told anyone.
Wow. So Steven Tyler found out like when she was a teenager, like, holy crap, I've got this kid. And obviously, because she looks exactly freaking like
looks
him.
Looks exactly like only her sister.
Only beautiful.
All right. So I am going to ask you to exercise self-control.
But we can see when it comes to bands, that only happened to just a couple bands.
Right. Okay, so today we're going to continue with our talk about the fruit of the Spirit. Okay, if you remember from last week, it is not fruits of the Spirit. It is one fruit. It might not be last week. I don't know when this will air, but the last episode of this, we talked about how it was the works of the flesh, but the fruit of the Spirit. There's only one, and it's unified in that concept. And so let's talk about Spirit-filled Christians. So if you're a spirit-filled Christian, you should exercise these fruit to the best of your ability. And we talked about love, and we talked about agape love. We talked about phileo love and how the love that they're talking about is agape love, the sacrificing love. And so today we're going to start talking about joy. So let's talk a little bit about joy in the Bible. So, because that's the second one. And I don't think that they're in any particular order. And I don't think this list is an exclusive list. And we'll get to that at the end of the next session of why I don't think it's a... Ralph's having issues.
He's pointing out all the notes that you have.
I'm pointing out all of the scriptures from today only.
I hope we get to them all.
He's tabbed them in his Bible.
So he's ready to go.
So he's ready to go.
We're loaded up. None of this fumbling around nonsense that I always do.
Okay, so joy. What is joy? If I say, what is joy to you in this room?
Joy, acute joy, happiness. Joy.
Acute happiness, like acute bunny or acute as small?
No, acute as in focused.
Intensely
the word
acute. Focused, yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, an abundance of happy, an overabundance of happy.
Fulfillment.
Okay. I think all of those are correct. Joy in Galatians 5 is the same root word as in Romans 5, 1 through 5. And Ralph, since you have your Bible marked, would you find Romans 5 and read 1 through 5 for me?
Romans 5. Oh, got to get to Romans. I'm in Acts.
That's a good book too, but
you're almost there.
Sorry about
that. We all got the dropsies tonight. Wow.
Loaded up.
Yeah, that thing's slidey.
Rick started it.
Yeah.
Rick started it.
It's always my fault.
All righty. Romans 5, 1 through 5. Mm-hmm. Therefore, having been justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, through whom also we have obtained our introduction by faith into this grace in which we stand. And we exult in hope of the glory of God. And not only this, but we've also exult in our tribulations, knowing that tribulation brings about perseverance. And perseverance, proven character, and proven character, hope. And hope does not disappoint, because the love of God has been poured out within our hearts through the Holy Spirit who was given to us.
Okay, so they use the word exalt there, but that is the same word there. And I love when we read about these different fruit all over the Bible, that they almost always come accompanied with another one. They hardly ever stand out by themselves. You heard exalting, hope, love in that one, and several other ones that we're going to read. You're going to hear that they, in peace, I think, was in there. It comes with a... They come in pairs or groups of five, or sometimes all of them all together. They all feed off of one another, and that's how it should be. We as Christians should feed off one another. But joy, the definition of it is a feeling of it is well despite my earthly circumstances, because my eternity is secure in Christ. It has nothing to do with your position in life. because that can be painful and severe. It is truly an amazing gift that many believers don't or can't really understand. We cannot create joy in ourselves because it is already there.
You know, I don't know that it's possible for us to really wrap our minds around what a radical concept justified by faith, because we are now justified by our faith, would have been in a first century Roman context.
That's joy.
Where literally every single aspect of your relationship with your gods is based on how you are making them happy or not making them happy. But then now we have this belief system. Here comes this with Jesus Christ with this message. No, you can just be, you just have have faith that you're forgiven and everything is fine if you just come to God through me. How do you not, like, even just thinking about that, that produces this sense of peace and joy, this relief, this like, oh my gosh. Like, and I can't even imagine in a first century context where no other spiritual practice is giving you that. None. Everyone else was super works-based, and especially fear. In Rome. And fear. Yeah, because their gods were the worst. Not the worst. I'm sure there were worse ones, but their gods were jerks. And the work that everyone had to do to like appease them all the time, all of a sudden now there's this no. What a relief. What an absolute relief that must have been.
I always thought, though, that for some of those ones that were worse, there were people behind the scenes pulling the strings and writing down that saying, our God says you need to do this and do this so that things get built and so that the rich can continue to lay around and do nothing.
Surely that's always been a part of it. Yes.
Rick.
A lot of old gods, though, kind of jerks, drunks, whore. They
went down and took humans and did whatever they wanted to with them, kidnapped them.
Locked them in Hades forever just because they were cute. Like, did all kinds of weird stuff.
Terrible, air quotes people. A lot of them, just awful.
Well, look at all the things that all the leaders have done, the leaders of all of the religions have done over the year, the persecution and the killings and everything that's gone on. And, the queen of Spain, let's just go persecute and kill people. And there's so many different things, the Crusades, the things that happen.
Seems like an evidence of joy is like an evidence of freedom, understanding total freedom. Because then I would think, and I'm going to speak for at least my perspective on freedom is, to be honest, I don't know what it's like to be imprisoned or enslaved into something that I can't do what I want. Now, what would you think of possibly that could be as far as being put in prison where you can't do anything, you're held within refinement? We think of a first person context of a first century person. A lot of people were in slavery, not in necessarily a prison cell, but they were enslaved within a home. They were enslaved within an army. They were enslaved within so many different things. But to understand what joy would be like was be to be released of that imprisonment that you were in, not necessarily physical, but it could be mentally, it could be emotionally, could be everything encompassing in that. But joy would be the ultimate pinnacle of understanding what freedom would be like.
I do understand a little bit. When I came home from Mission Hospital after being in there near 80 days, and it was February, we're driving home down, the mountains, and all the trees were bare and dead, and everything looked just dreary, and it quite possibly was the most beautiful thing I'd ever seen, because I hadn't seen the outside world for that long, since Thanksgiving, and this was in February. So, while it wasn't the most beautiful sight, like a beach or, the trees in bloom or the trees in fall, it was beautiful, and I understood what that freedom meant and how much that I really had meant. Now, I guess I was forcibly put there, but, I guess I could have checked myself out. I really don't know, but all that to say is I kind of understand that, to find joy even in what seems like not great situation. Do you have your Bible?
Yeah.
Would you look up Philippians 4, 1 through 4? And while he's doing that, one of the things I love about John, it talks about how our joy is full. And this is John 15:11. These things I have spoken to you, that my joy, Jesus says, my joy may be in you and that your joy may be full. We can have the full joy of Jesus Christ.
The joy of the Lord is my strength.
The joy of the Lord is my strength. Mm-hmm. Okay, would you read yours, Philippians 4, 1 through 4?
So then, my dearly loved and longed for brothers and sisters, my joy and crown in this matter stand firm in the Lord, dear friends. I urge Euroda, and I urge, these are very hard names to pronounce, Synethetch?
Okay, we'll go with that.
I can't.
I'm sure it's correct. Yeah, it's fine.
That's right. To agree in the Lord. Yes, I also ask you, true partner, to help these women who have contended for the gospel at my side, along with Clement and the rest of my co-workers whose names are in the book of life. Rejoice in the Lord always. I will say it again, rejoice.
So rejoice there. It's a command. We're to rejoice in the Lord always. And those two words are related, joy and rejoice. Tiziana, do you look up Matthew 28:7-8? This is our ultimate human joy. So let's see what Matthew says about our ultimate human joy.
Then go quickly and tell his disciples, he has been raised from the dead, and indeed he is going ahead of you to Galilee. There you will see him. This is my message for you. So they left the tomb quickly with fear and great joy and ran to tell his disciples.
Look at that. They were afraid, but man, they were filled with great joy.
Isn't that a fascinating juxtaposition?
He wasn't there. Mm-hmm. They were terrified. What are they going to believe us? Mm-hmm. Is he really alive?
What's going to happen now?
And yeah. You know they're going, okay, I know he told us about this. What did he tell us? Y'all remember? And he kept saying, you'll understand. I just can't even imagine all that. But our ultimate hope comes because he's no longer in the grave. That's our ultimate joy comes from that. And so one character in the Bible that I think of that for me is a picture of just immense joy in the midst of suffering is Stephen. Mm. He's being brutalized. We as a 21st century Western people group do not understand the brutality of stoning.
Yeah.
It is so painful. It breaks your bones. It's a slow and unless somebody dings you right on the head and knocks you out. I mean, and they typically didn't aim for the head. I mean, it was always to inflict the most amount of punishment possible. We don't understand that. We don't do that typically. It's not a punishment that we see regularly. I mean, I guess maybe if you were, I don't know. But he found joy because he could see Jesus sitting at the right hand of the Father. And he found joy in that. Don't you see him? Look, there he, I mean, I can see. That's just that joy in the midst of immense pain. And we find joy in our community. This is where we share our sorrows and victories and fear. They went together in that verse you read. Go tell the others to meet me. We're going to have community. And what did they do when they got together and saw him? They ate. Now, as a Southern Baptist girl, that warms the cockles of my heart. We're going to eat, y'all. We're going to have some fried chicken, and we're going to rejoice, and we're going to love one another. Joy brings constant satisfaction and contentment. Nehemiah says, the joy of the Lord is my strength. And I think Tiziana has already said that, but it says it in Psalms, says it in Isaiah. All the prophets basically repeat that same phrase, the joy of my Lord is my strength. It is unmovable. It is unchangeable.
Which is fascinating because the joy is the strength. Mm-hmm. You know, not like I'm strong and I'm successful and I'm doing well and so I have joy.
That's happiness.
Right. It's the joy itself is the strength.
It is
in the midst of persecution, in the midst of the struggles, in the midst of, I mean, all these different places. You're talking about Nehemiah. You're talking about an exiled group of people returning home to rebuild the temple. You're talking about Isaiah, a people that have already been exiled, right? We're not talking about people that are in power when they're saying this, the joy is the strength. Right. You're talking about people that are destroyed and in lack. And yet, you know, the joy itself in the Lord is the strength.
I agree with that. But it's the joy of the Lord because it's his joy, not my joy. It's not dependent on me or anything that I have done. It's on what Jesus Christ did on the cross, his resurrection, and the hope that I have that I will stand before him face to face and he will say, well done, good and faithful servant. That brings me joy. Now, when we're going through trials, when we're all being tempted or find ourselves in trouble of some sort, whether that's self-inflicted or inflicted on us by others, it's hard to see the joy. I think we'd all agree we're not happy. But when we come through it on the other side, when you quoted Romans 4 and 5, which is, I don't like to have favorites, but it's one of my favorites. You know, that produces character, and character produces hope, and hope does not disappoint. But when we're being pressed down and pushed on, and we come through the other side, like while we're in the midst of it, we're like, this sucks so bad. This is the worst. But when we get through to the other side, the joy that we feel we survived, what was my testimony through it? What is my testimony after it? How does that help me to bring glory to God? So I just love what the Bible says. In 1 Peter 1, 6 through 9, does anybody have that one that they would like to turn to that and read for me? And then I'll need John 16, 16 through 22.
You rejoice in this, even though now, for a short time if necessary, you suffer grief in various trials, so that proven character of your faith, more valuable than gold, which, though perishable, is refined by fire, may it result in praise, glory, and honor at the revelation of Jesus Christ.
All right. It's based on settled promises kept by God. That's what our joy comes from, promises that are made.
Verse 8 says, though you have not seen him, you love him. Though not seeing him now, you believe in him, and you rejoice with inexplicable and glorious joy.
Go through 9, I think I asked 3 through 9.
Because you are receiving the goal of your faith, the salvation of your souls.
There you are. Our joy comes because what? We receive the goal of our faith. What was that? 9?
9, because you're receiving the goal of your faith, the salvation of your souls.
What is the goal of our faith? Faith is the salvation of our souls. If we are saved and are going to see Jesus face to face, we ought to find joy in that.
This episode is brought to you by Carolina Cases. Whether in your home, auto, suitcase, or hotel room, you can be assured that with Carolina Cases, you can protect what matters most. Carolina Cases are TSA approved, so you know your items are secured in a shock and impact-proof hard case. These lightweight, durable cases come with pre-cut, protective, high-quality foam to fit your pistols by make and model, compact size, or full size. They also come in a universal configuration for multiple options. Carolina Cases are more than a pistol case. They are available in fully customizable foam to protect what matters. You can go to their website at www.carolinacases.net to see their designer protective lid designs. Each is laser engraved to give you unmatched style at home or on the range. So protect what matters most. Visit www.carolinacases.net. That's www.carolinacases.net. Enter code BURROWS at checkout to receive free shipping. That's right. Just enter the code BURROWS at checkout and you will receive free shipping. That's B-U-R-R-O-S.
John 16, 16 through 22.
A little while, and you will no longer behold me. And again, a little while, and you will see me. Some of his disciples therefore said to one another, what is this thing he is telling us? A little while, and you will not behold me. And again, a little while, you will see me. And because I go to the Father? And so they were saying, what is this, what he says, a little while? We do not know what he is talking about. Jesus knew that they wished to question him, and he said to them, oops, I got to take the sticky off.
He said to them, oops.
I got
to
take the sticky off. And he said to them, are you deliberating together about this? And I said, a little while, and you will not behold me, and again, a little while, and you will see me. Truly, truly, I say to you that you will weep and lament, but the world will rejoice. You will be sorrowful, but your sorrow will be turned to joy. Whenever a woman is in travail, she has sorrow because her hour has come. But when she gives birth to the child, she remembers the anguish no more, for joy that a child has been born into the world. Therefore, you too now have sorrow, but I will see you again, and your heart will rejoice, and no one takes your joy away from you.
Okay, so I don't want to say I disagree with Jesus, but I don't think a woman ever truly forget.
Girl!
I disagree with you, because if a woman didn't forget, she wouldn't have no more kids.
I just think we don't dwell on it.
You know what's so funny? So I think that a friend of mine was a doula for a long time, and she talks about, like, there's a certain sort of chemical that is released in the brain, like a sort of amnesia kind of washes over you. Like, that is God's great design. God's like, this is going to suck, but I'm going to do
this certain
thing.
Until you do it the second time, and you're like, what the?
So when I got pregnant, so when I gave birth the first time, it was totally all natural. It was a surprise, right? So there were no epidural, no drugs, no nothing, just straight through, right? And my labor was only 6 hours. Bless. So it happened real quick. Yeah, it was fast and it was all natural. And I remember I got pregnant with Jubilee. And again, like 2 years later, I had kind of forgotten, really, you know? And I was sleeping and I had a dream. And in my dream, I was like at the peak of my labor again. I'm telling you, gentlemen, you will never know. It is the most helpless feeling in the whole wide world when you are like at the top of that roller coaster and you know, like, there's only one way out, right? Yeah. And you're just like, I mean, I remember like,
yeah, we're not stopping it now.
It's just like that scene.
Put it back in.
To me, it was just like that scene in Princess Bride when he's on the machine to suck his life. He's like, so this is for posterity. Please tell me how you feel. And he just goes, there was this like feeling of helplessness. Like whenever I see that scene, I think about that. And in my dream, I had forgotten it, but in my dream, my body was like, oh, I remember this.
But the moment they placed that baby.
Oh, yeah. But yep.
On the moment they placed that baby on your chest, it's gone. It washes away.
It's like gone. Taking out a
splinter.
Gone.
It's like when you take out a splinter, it doesn't hurt anymore.
And it's exact. And what's weird, too, is that honestly, it's like relief. The pain of labor is gone. It's once relief. The baby's out, the pain literally stops. Like, I remember being so nasty to the nurse, right? Like, just terrible to her because they were trying to monitor the baby because I was premature. She was early, blah, blah, blah. So she was like shoving this hockey puck of a fetal monitor in my belly the whole time I was in labor. I kept smacking her hand away and be like, get away from me. You know what I mean? So I was just like so mad. I remember I'm taking the baby and putting it on my chest and looked at that lady and I was like, I'm sorry. I'm really quite lovely. You know what I mean? But it was that fast. Like that fast. You know what I mean? Like, I mean, 2 seconds ago, I'm like, I need a yoga ball in here. I'm sorry. That fast.
Just like you've been overcome by demons or something.
Yeah, no, it was exactly.
I thought I saw
possessed.
That in Britney Spears. No, TikTok.
Yeah, maybe you did. I'm telling you, yeah, the knives.
But then it says, but we will rejoice because you're going to see me again.
Yeah.
I'm coming back.
Yeah.
You're going to see me and we're going to rejoice and you're going to rejoice and you're going to find your joy fulfilled through me mm-hmm. and my salvation. And I mean Jesus, not me. So I just love that our joy is complete. In our salvation because of the work of Jesus Christ on the cross and his resurrection. And I just want to leave you with this because I know how the Ricks squared love to talk about the kingdom. For the kingdom of God is not a matter of eating and drinking, but of righteousness and peace and joy in the Holy Spirit.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Notice those three words went together, righteousness, peace, and joy. Mm-hmm. So again, most of the time you won't ever see a passage without more than one fruit in it, which I love. When the Bible repeats itself, we're supposed to pay extra close attention. And so joy is just not something we talk about at Christmas. I think it's something that we as Christians need to espouse more of. As we're showing love to others, we should also, y'all, I'm going to heaven. I get to see Jesus. I get to see my baby in heaven. Mm. There's joy in that. This is just temporary compared to eternity. Whatever I'm going through is just temporary. And when you're in the middle of it, you're in the middle of a tough family thing. You're in the middle of a tough work thing. You're in the middle of a tough time with small children. I didn't think I was ever going to get out of that. And then there's joy on the other side. We just got to understand where we're projecting that joy. And that is a true testament to our faith. That's how we grow disciples. You can't grow disciples if we're screaming at the nurse to bring us a yoga ball.
No, you really can't.
You can't.
She was definitely
she was not
going to
hear
go to
about Jesus yeah. from her.
No, she wasn't. She wasn't listening.
I will say this.
The only nurse on the entire maternity ward, floor, labor delivery, who didn't have any kids. Okay? Let me just say that again.
Oh, my gosh.
She's a labor and delivery nurse who's never had children.
Oof.
And I think so, you have. I don't think you've seen the cause and effect happening here.
She kept me like, just breathe through, just breathe through. And I was like, you don't know what this is like. I mean, you know what I mean? Poor woman.
So degrading.
Do you know what I mean?
You know,
I was like, how dare you tell me to breathe? You know? Anyway.
Okay.
I can imagine what my wife was thinking about me when I was telling her to breathe then.
Well, yeah. Dylan would say it was different because we were at the Lamaze class together. Do you know what I'm saying? So he was doing everything that we said he was supposed to do. But like this woman, I don't even know you.
Look, I was there. It was traumatic.
I was laughing. Somebody got a picture of me laughing my head off because it got you leaned back with your legs kind of spread and your hands on your knees. And I am just dying laughing.
I'm sure she was happy with that.
Oh my God. Well, we were in Lamaze class. So.
A picture of you doing that?
Yeah. This was in Lamaze class.
So that you could get an idea. To be pointed out. Yeah, a picture of him doing that. Yeah.
Yes.
Maybe we can put that up on the Patreon.
Oh my God. Worth every penny.
Worth every penny. Only $3 subscribes you folks.
Okay, so we're going to move from joy to peace. Okay, what is peace? The definition of peace from a Christian standpoint is soul tranquility. And I liked that definition.
I like the tranquility.
So there are three types of peace. Peace with God, peace in our hearts, and peace with others. So I'm going to assign you some scripture, each of you. Okay, TZ, Luke 8:45-48, Rick, Acts 10:36, and John 14:27. Ralph, do you want me to assign you some, Andy, or you're good?
I could look some up on my phone.
Okay, so we're going to talk about peace with God first. When we talk about peace with God in the Bible, we'll go back to Genesis 3, when they're walking in the garden with God, right? Before the terrible incident with the talking serpent. So they're walking, he's walking, especially it talks about him walking with God every day in the cool of the evening. To me, that sounds peaceful. Doesn't that sound peaceful? Especially if it's been warm all day.
Well, it's the Middle East. You know, yeah. It was warm all day.
Well, it was different temperature.
True. Maybe, climate change.
But that was the ultimate climate change. But they, whatever it was the cool of the evening. And so for those of you who've lived in the South for more than a hot minute, you know, just about maybe October, it's hot during the day, but you go out at night about 5 or 6, 6:30, and it's nice and cool in the evenings. You can actually breathe outside for a change. I've never lived in the desert, so I don't understand about that whole kind of concept, but the humidity sometimes drops.
All you
drops.
Need to do is just, like, get in an oven, and you know what it's like to live in a desert.
Oh, okay.
Close enough, trust me.
Why people live out there, I don't know.
My family's been in Arizona for years. I only go in February.
The desert's wonderful.
Okay.
It's true beautiful. About the whole allergy thing, though, is for real.
It is. Yeah.
The whole no allergies and in a land of no life.
Well, it is, except
that
for
makes sense.
There true. Is a series. There is a season of pollen there, and it is a crazy season. Like, you know, when you have
is it
here and you have the
pollen?
You have the dust on the, well, cacti, you have acacia trees, you have all the trees that everything. There's a lot. But it's the here on the worst part, when you have the yellow on the windshield, triple that.
Yeah, and it was like I don't believe I remember that.
Three
in
or
Arizona,
4 weeks, and it's
or at least
just
the part I was
crazy.
In.
Yeah, I like I said, I only go in February. My family's lived there for 15 years. I go in February or March. That is it.
Nice. That's probably beautiful then, right?
So yeah, it would be nice and maybe almost cool.
It is. The mornings are beautiful. Oh. Mornings in February in Arizona. Oh my gosh, I love to get up and go for a jog. It's cool. The sun's starting to rise. It's just a little pink in the sky. I mean, it's just gorgeous.
It's amazing how cold it gets in the summertime at nighttime.
So that's why I imagine
you go from scorching hot heat to cold, like quick.
Yeah,
it's cold.
That's why you got to have all the clothes.
Yes,
when you go out,
every bit of it.
So, but then we know sin comes along and breaks that peace with God. And because of that, we all lost out on peace with God. So to restore that, what did God have to do? What did God have to do to restore peace?
Oh, send Jesus Christ to sacrifice himself to atone for all of our mistakes.
Yes, to begin the restoration.
I was going to say the F word, F ups, but then I stopped myself and said mistakes.
Thank you.
You also kind of said mixtakes.
I know, because I was going to say a different mixtakes? Thing, and then I caught myself.
Yeah, I thought you were just being cute.
No.
Our little mixtakes.
No, I caught myself.
Mixtapes? What?
No.
Mixtakes, isn't that a McRib?
But yeah.
Yuck. So he is going to complete that in his time. All right. Who had Acts? I can't remember who I signed Acts. Okay. Acts 10:36.
Just that one verse?
Uh-huh.
He sent a message to the Israelites proclaiming the good news of peace through Jesus Christ. He is Lord of all.
Okay. We got peace through Jesus Christ because we were reconciled because of what Tiziana said, Jesus' sacrifice, God's sacrifice of his own son. The picture of that, of course, is in the Gospels where it talks about Jesus was asleep in the bottom of the boat, and they get in it, and they go across it, and these experienced fishermen get in a storm, and they're panicking. This is like their livelihood. Now, me, I take a boat out, and I get caught in a storm. I'm going to panic. I don't know what to do. Do you go into the wave? Do you let the wave roll? I mean, I've seen, what was that movie with?
Those little boats.
Perfect Storm.
Perfect Storm scared me to death. Oh, I was terrified.
I have
of
nightmares of that movie. That final scene?
Yes. Yeah. No, thank you.
Oh, my gosh.
Well, that was
those guys panicked because they know what's possible, not because they were amateurs. They panicked because they understood the repercussions. Well,
if you've ever seen The Sea of Galilee,
you
can take the whole thing in one picture. You can get high up.
That's the other thing, yeah. Sea Galley's actually quite small.
It's really small.
Yeah, it's really small.
Technically, if you get far enough away, it looks like a pond.
Really? Yeah. So it's really small. It's wild.
But the way that the topography works is the way the storms will come over the hill, there can be possibly a lot of wind and a very fast storm because of the way that the climate works there. Because you got to look at a topography map of Israel in that area. It's almost like a huge Grand Canyon because there's a huge valley where the Jordan's at. You got hills on both sides, so it can get pretty bad. So for to have a bad storm there on like a pond where it almost sinks the boat, a couple things. Either the boat was really, really tiny or it was really, really bad.
Well, and again, because the Sea of Galilee was small and it's only when the wind comes down in these stern ways, because we live in the mountains.
Yes.
So we know how it can be like completely fine and then be terrible, or like, you know, it'll come out of nowhere. Like everything was fine. Then all of a sudden the weather changes quickly. And so it's possible that like it was a quick change. It's the kind of weather that they would have never gone out in otherwise,
right?
You know?
And they so there's a lot. Home.
Yeah. Right. Yeah. So they found themselves, like Andy said, in a situation that their experience probably would have never gotten them in the first place.
Well, some of them said it was at night. I think the tellings are one of these stories is at night.
So yeah, they might just not even have had an opportunity to see it coming.
They didn't have Chris Justice
because Jesus falls asleep while they're sailing, so it probably was nighttime. They probably couldn't see nothing because then, you know, their candles and stuff would have.
They
blown
should
out.
Have noticed Nick Cantori standing there when they got off the. Oh, yeah. When he pushed off,
they didn't get the 4 there, billion alerts on their phone. I'm just kidding.
I don't know the reference.
Nick Cantori?
It's Jim Cantori from the Weather Channel. Anytime you ever see him show up, the weather's not going to be good.
That's where the hurricane hits.
That's where you're like, oh, God.
Yeah, it's bad. Don't be there when he's there.
So his disciples.
Will do. Thanks for that.
His disciples were panicking. He was sleeping. He gets up and he says,
chill out, y'all.
No, storm. Calm yourself. And it does, and they row on to shore. So I love that. But my favorite picture is the one that I think Teezy's going to read us in Luke 8:45-48.
Luke 8:45-48. Then Jesus asked, who touched me? When all denied it, Peter said, Master, the crowds surround you and press in on you.
Oh, my God.
But Jesus said,
sounds like children. He touched me. Who touched me? Was it you? Everybody around him is like, it wasn't me.
I love you, but I'm going to start over because this story is really important. It's one of my favorites, too. So I'm going to start over. I love you.
I love you, baby.
He touched me.
But I love this story.
It is a good
thing.
This one's really important. I'm going to start over. 45. Then Jesus asked, who touched me? When all denied it, Peter said, Master, the crowds surround you and press in on you. But Jesus said, no, someone touched me, for I noticed that power had gone out of me. When the woman saw that she could not remain hidden, she came trembling and falling down before him. She declared in the presence of all the people why she had touched him and how she had been immediately healed. And he said to her, daughter, your faith has made you well. Go in peace.
Okay, first off, I just got chills. Well, I love this.
Me too, because when I was a little boy at Catholic school, all you hear is have faith. And I was the question kid and the kid that didn't stop. Have faith. And this was one of the first stories in my life as probably 7 years old as an altar boy. I understood that faith, what they were talking about. It's like, oh, I kind of get it.
I kind of get it. This is like, to, for me, was a huge revelation.
Well, she was so desperate.
When let's put a little context, because I don't know that Andy didn't know this, and so I'm going to put some context on it. This woman had been hemorrhaging blood for 12 years, which if you are a female and you have the bodies that we have, mm-hmm. there are lots of things that could potentially go wrong. You could have an ovarian cysts. You could have some kind of endometriosis. She could have had a baby and then could have had like a rupture in her uterus that was continuing to bleed. And this was a period of time where women's health was not at the forefront of the medical the medical world.
Just
right?
Health wasn't in general.
In general. But especially women's health. I mean, even now, I don't know if anyone knows this, but it wasn't until 1993 that in the United States, they started doing drug trials on women. So that before this time, when a woman was prescribed a drug, she was prescribed a dosage that had been tested on men and whether or not that worked for their physiology, right? So for this woman, first of all, she's a woman. And we've talked about this ad nauseum, and I can't stop. The fact that her story is recorded, because that's how important Jesus thought women were and how important women were in his movement, right? Mm-hmm. The fact that this woman who had been bleeding, which also made her unclean.
That, I was getting ready to say that.
She would have not been allowed. Yeah. Right. So she would have been unclean for 12 years. She would have been barred from worship for 12 years. She would have been barred from the temple for 12 years.
She was broke.
She would have been away from her family because she was unclean, right? This is an enormous amount of suffering that this woman had experienced for 12 years. And she had to work up the strength to push through a crowd of people pressing and touch just
and
touch
she
him.
She knew that if she just
touched the hem of his garment.
Right.
If I could just touch, I could be healed.
Well, it's the fact that she would have gotten noticed in that crowd. Somebody could have passably snatched her out of it saying, you're not supposed to be here.
Yeah, the amount of bravery and guts and faith. And Jesus was like, whoa, I felt it. I love that. Like, Jesus is like a character on a video game that has like a health bar.
Yeah.
And he was like, ooh, I felt it. Yeah. Someone took something.
Somebody give me a recharge
pack. Give me a mushroom. Or like, you know,
magic level
a piece of chocolate,
down.
Right? Like it left, right?
So here's the thing, I think, though. Jesus asked the question, who touched me? And then Peter answers the question like a dummy that he is. Lots of people are touching you, Jesus. What
He's
are you
like,
talking
dude,
about?
I mean, really.
I think Jesus knew who touched him. Mm. I think Jesus wanted this to be another lesson for his disciples that women are not just things that are kicked along the ground and stomped on.
Yes.
I'm taking the time as the God of the universe.
Mm-hmm. To acknowledge this woman.
I'm going
to
stop. Mm-hmm. He had already healed her. The healing had already taken place. It was done. It was finished, to quote Jesus. It is finished. Mm-hmm. He could have just kept walking and pretended like that never happened, but he stopped. Mm-hmm. He asked the question. She mustered up the courage, trembling, shaking with fear.
Like she had taken, like she'd stolen something that didn't belong to her.
She had done something wrong. Mm-hmm. And she says, it was me. And he says, your faith has made you whole. Go in peace. That means quit shaking, child. Quit fearing. You are healed. You are my sister. Go on.
It was always yours.
Yeah, go on.
It was always for you.
But he stopped and did that to give her dignity. No longer is she the one to be shunned and ignored and kept out of worship. She's no longer unclean.
Yeah,
and that's right. What happens when we come to Christ. We are no longer unclean. If we'll just acknowledge what he's done. And to me, that picture of go in peace, I imagine that she did with exuberant joy.
Yeah, right.
Oh, I imagine she went
Good
skipping.
Night. I only bleed for a week and I hate it. Can't you know what I mean? 12 years.
I imagine she went very joyful.
Yeah.
Rejoicing in the Lord.
Yeah.
Okay.
And you know, it's also funny. And just as an aside, because the fact that, again, he stopped the crowd and said, who did this? Think about all the other times that Jesus did healing. What did he say? Go show yourself to the rabbis, priest. But don't say anything. Mm-hmm. Don't tell nobody. This is just for you, shh, right? So for him to like stop and acknowledge this woman and elevate her
and
in that
the miracle
moment.
That just happened.
Again, like it's like the fact that he healed.
It absolutely seems like a pointed thing about women.
Exactly. Yes, that's a Jesus thing. That's the way he was. And like, and again, like, you know, lepers, he was constantly healing people that were unclean and therefore labeled and kept outside of the worship, outside of the church.
They weren't just unclean on the inside. Mm-hmm. They were unclean on the outside. So he talked a lot about the cups where they were clean. Mm-hmm. They looked pretty and shiny on the outside, mm-hmm. Pharisees.
Yeah.
But they're dirty in the inside. This was the whole package. Mm-hmm. And it was cleaned up at once because of the faith, because of her. She worked up the courage to just crawl along the ground. She was probably stepped on and
who knows, man.
Kicked. And so I love that story. About
I love that story.
Well, here's something else that I'm picking up in this story as I keep rereading this. And yeah, we're hitting very strong on a great story for that woman. But what's also pretty cool in the story is he's also going to save a daughter.
He's on his way.
Another girl
that would have been devalued, would have been unimportant, would have been something that would have been cast off from a Jewish man. I'm not saying that because I don't know, but I'm thinking from a Western mind point, looking at a Jewish man, would he have cared enough about his daughter, or would he have cared more about his son to be healed? This man cares enough. I don't know if that's his only child at the time. Mm-hmm. Could have been. But he's caring enough about his daughter that, you know, he's going to Jesus, asking him to be healing of her as well, knowing that he may not even do it. But he's being surprised. Christ is going through it. You see this crowd muster around him like he's trying to prevent him to go there. And you see these two stories back to back of women that he's significantly, this gets recorded, of women that he's making a point through his ministry of the importance of women in life.
Mm-hmm. Oh, just look at how he treats Mary Magdalene and Mary.
She's like his number one.
And Mary and her sister. And Martha.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, there's women all through it. The woman at the well.
Yeah.
I mean, he's making a specific point, at least through the authors, to point out how important women are.
This episode is brought to you by Carolina Cases. Are you tired of compromising when it comes to protecting your valuable firearms?
Yes.
No. Well, okay, fine. I'm cool with firearms. I just don't have any. But I can see why you would want to protect them, right? So let us tell you about Carolina Cases, your ultimate destination for hard plastic, impact-proof pistol cases. Carolina Cases are TSA approved and are crafted with high-quality foam, ensuring maximum protection for your firearms during transport or storage. At Carolina Cases, they understand the importance of safeguarding your investments. I can understand that. I have investments. I just don't have firearms. Carolina Cases provide unparalleled durability, keeping your pistol safe from impact and damage. So hop on over to www.carolinacases.net to explore their wide range of pistol cases designed to meet your specific needs. Don't settle for less. With Carolina Cases, you can ensure your firearms are safely stored, preserve your peace of mind, and protect what matters most. So go to www.carolinacases.net. And then enter code Burrows at checkout to receive free shipping. That's B-U-R-R-O-S at checkout to receive shipping. Thanks, guys.
All right. The next one is peace in our hearts. Okay. Who had John 14:27?
That'd be me. Peace I leave with you. My peace I give to you. Not as the world gives do I give it to you. Let not your heart be troubled, nor let it be fearful.
Okay. So all things work for our good. And we've talked a lot about that in the suffering episodes. If you haven't listened to those, go back and listen to those. All things work to our good. This woman that we just talked about had a story to tell. She suffered for 12 years. Jesus healed her. She's joyful. She's full of peace. She goes and tells the story of this man. Hopefully she came to a saving. I imagine she was in the crowd at Pentecost going, I know that guy. He healed me. Like, yes, I accept him. Like that's, I don't know for a fact that she was there, but in my heart, I think she heard the story of this man who was her Messiah. And she went, wait, he touched me. Or I touched him and he touched me and gave me peace. So he works all things for good. So we've talked about the suffering a lot at length, but we can know peace in our sufferings. And he says in that verse that you just read, Ralph, let not your heart be troubled. That is easier said than done. We are a worrisome, anxiety-filled, stressed-out society.
I
imagine they were too.
I hope everyone, as they get older, like me, has shed that. There's hope.
Yeah.
Because I know, and especially once you're a grandparent, you treat your grandkids differently than you treat your kids. But I think you treat your life. I mean, when I hit 50, I stopped caring what people think. I stopped caring whether my boss liked me or not. I stopped caring. I just, you know, don't get me wrong. I want people to like me, or I want this, or I want this. But, and I'm not going to be mean to people, but I let that stress go. I let all of that. And it was like I was leaning on, just leaning. I just like, you know, somebody told me once, just give it up. And I've been telling people for years, just give it up. And, you know, but I hadn't been practicing it myself. One day I'm like, you know, I just need to do this. And it was wonderful.
So you got joy in the freedom of letting that go?
Hell yeah, I'll tell you.
But think
about
it.
And peace in his heart from it.
You know, but like, that's the thing, joy and peace. Like, the thing is, the reason they're always coming together, the reason they're always mentioned together, just stop and think about it. If you get in a fight with someone you really care about, right? You just had a fight with somebody and you're really working on something and you have to go home and like think about your part and what you need to fix and how you need to apologize. And they probably need to go do the same thing, but you don't know if they're doing that. You hope they are, but you know, you got to be responsible for you. And then you finally come together and you like, you say you're sorry and they say they're sorry. And you sit there and you figure out how it happened that you got in this fight and what you're going to do now. And then when it's all over, you take a deep breath and you hug each other and you're reconciled. Mm-hmm. You don't feel joy, but not peace. And you don't feel peace, but not joy. When you love someone and you're willing to do the hard work of taking ownership of yourself and the mistake that you made, you watch them do the same thing, that there's the peace and the joy of two things: A, repentance; B, reconciliation. Mm-hmm. That you can't have one without the other. Peace and joy. You know what I mean?
Brother Rick, is it just me or is this woman intense?
Woo!
No wonder why she's married to somebody younger than her. Nobody, like, somebody woo, my age couldn't keep up with her.
My husband listens to these too. He's going to like that one. You know what's funny? You know what? I'll tell you something. My husband is actually like chill as a cucumber.
He would have to be because you are intense for two.
He is. And the thing is, like, I was thinking about this the other day. I want to make a TikTok because I recently diagnosed with ADHD, right? Recently diagnosed with ADHD.
No. What a shock.
Yeah, I know. Listen, you guys act like that, but I was genuinely shocked.
Please.
I literally was like, what? Nah, I just thought, you tell me everybody doesn't wake up every single day of their life like they're a jack-in-the-box two clicks away from busting out the top? That's only me?
That's right? Always been me all my life.
I didn't know that. I mean, I figure everyone else just wakes up like
that.
You
want to borrow some of my methylphenidate?
So listen, I see where you're going there. You know, in the household that I grew up in, I literally grew up with fight or flight as my normal. I did not understand that not everybody felt that way. So we had a very stressful situation happen in our family a couple years ago, and y'all are all there for me with it. But for my husband, this was very anxious, worrisome times. And it upset his stomach, and it gave him heart palpitations, and he couldn't sleep at night. And he came to me one day, and he said, "Are you feeling these things?" And I was like, "No." And he looked at me, he goes, "Is this how you feel all the time?" I was like, "Every waking moment of my day."
Yeah, right? Yeah. My amygdala is always telling me there's a fire, brother. Like, I'm just used to that.
I have no idea how to not be like that.
Yes.
If I had to live with not the fight or flight, I think I would die.
Yeah.
It's just
I don't know how to live without it. It's the hypervigilance.
Marijuana.
Well, see, that's the thing.
No.
Well, yeah, I mean.
No. I don't want to smell like funky skunk. Thank you.
Although, you know, I mean, really, I think that's a whole other conversation because I think they're moving around. But here's the point is that like my husband is the only person that loved me just the way I am, even without the diagnosis. Right? Because I've always been extra. I've always been loud. I've always sang in public. Looking back on it now, I realized I was trying to regulate myself in situations that were overstimulating. He's the only man that's never reached under the table and grabbed my leg. You know, he's so chill and so calm and so comfortable with his own self that he's just like, that's my wife.
He is. I've seen
He is pretty chill.
I've seen it.
Yeah. Well, you know what I mean?
For most of us, worry and anxiety and stress.
He's the yin to your yang.
That's what my friend said about me a long, long time ago. I said, "Don't worry, that's Ralph. You'll get used to him. Anything happens, he's the guy that we go to first to help fix it, but you'll get used to him."
Yeah.
Well, worry and anxiety and stress, those things aren't peaceful, and they typically don't bring us any good physically. But as your body does and your brain does, it adapts to it if it's all that it's ever known. They are often very detrimental to our physical and mental health. If I don't feel that inner peace or worry or stress over things, then when I get right down to it, let's see. If I don't feel that inner peace or I begin to worry or stress out over things on a constant basis, then when I get right down to it, and y'all watch your toes, I don't actually believe in the God sovereignty of our God. If I worry or I'm anxious.
Well, I don't think that that means literally that you don't believe. I just think that we're all on the path to that. And a lot of it comes with age and time, and some of it never comes for some people. Some people are always anxious and afraid.
Yes, I meant like living in a pattern of it.
I've done some studying on people, the women that go back to abusive men, mm-hmm. but it goes just back to what you said earlier. That's just the norm. That's your comfort zone because that's all you know. So you go back to that. So getting out of that, I mean, yes, you can accept the Lord and you can accept this and you can accept this, but getting out of your head is not as easy as
The reality of that is difficult. Absolutely. Yeah.
Well, there's something to be said about being transformed by the renewing of your mind, right? Mm-hmm. Because your brain cuts neural pathways. When you're used to having a stimulus and then having a reaction, that creates a neural pathway in your brain that from now on, every time you have that stimulus, it's like a bowling alley with the bumpers up. Your brain goes right to the pins, right? And so if you grew up like we did, right, where your fight or flight's always in full freak out mode because you're not safe no matter what. My mom was bipolar, and I love my mom. She's fine now, right? It was not her fault, long story, but like you never knew what mom you were going to get at any given time. And mm-hmm. so like you never were really fully, you could never chill. And so even though I knew the Lord from the time I was 6 years old, it really wasn't until I started going to therapy when I was like 30 and started kind of like figuring out how some techniques and tools to like rearrange my mind and like calm my actual amygdala down, that I started realizing that I wasn't able to walk in that, Sarita, the way that I wanted to. I physically couldn't because my brain had been incubated in terror for so long. And so I think that it's also important, like if you find that you're unable for some reason to like produce a certain fruit or produce a certain attitude, but you know you love the Lord, that maybe there's something else deeper physically, you know, like maybe there's like a therapy or some. I mean, I'm a big fan of drugs now. Wellbutrin.
I think you told us about that last time.
I know I could sell it. They should just hire me. But you know what I mean? But I was totally in turmoil.
You too
can you know?
Be a podcast supporter. Yeah.
You too could chill the F out.
Very slow.
Okay.
This is me chill, actually. Yeah. By the way, everyone. Yeah. Yeah.
So we often allow worry or stress or anxiety to take over our hearts on a constant basis. But we should never follow our hearts because they are wicked above all things. And we should seek the peace of the Holy Spirit and let Him defeat those fears. And Philippians 4:7 says, "And the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus." I love that.
That first verse is kind of an acknowledgement of this thing I've been like thinking about a lot for like the last year, is like the idea of the unreliable narrator. Don't follow your heart for what was it?
The heart is wicked above all things.
The heart is wicked above all things. Like, yeah, like that's just a thing I've been thinking about for like a year, how you just like, we think we're logical animals and we believe the things we see and feel, but we're having reactions based on things we don't control and for reasons we don't understand or even acknowledge exist. Mm-hmm. Like, you are not a reliable narrator of your own life. Even if you're a sane, like regular air quotes person, you cannot rely on your own beliefs about the people and the things that happen to you and the circumstances. Like, it is wild to me. Mm-hmm.
Can
like,
I quote you in my book that I write?
Yes.
I am not a reliable narrator, Andy.
In my own life. You are not a reliable narrator in your own life.
Have you ever heard of the Johari window? It's a psychological concept that everybody has four panes. It's like a window with four panes. The top left is the things I know about myself that I knowingly share with others. The top right is the things I know about myself that I don't share with anyone. Mm-hmm. The bottom left is the things that other people can see about me but that I can't see about myself. And then the bottom right is the things that I can't see about me that other people can't see about me, but still influence my behavior all of the time.
All of the time.
That little window right there is where why we all need Jesus.
All of the time.
I mean, that little window.
Okay, and our last thing here for peace is peace with others. If we are experiencing the first two types of peace, then we should have peace with others. If we have peace with God, peace in our hearts, then we should have peace with others. And that's something we should seek out.
I think that bottom right pane is nothing but emotions.
Those chemicals.
Anytime you get in, at least for me, anytime I get emotional, everything, it goes right out that window.
Yeah, you're right emotional because the chemicals that are being dumped into your blood.
Well, also,
system.
There's like, who knows? Like, you'll have a reaction to this when it's really about that, but you don't quite remember. You're not consciously aware of that. So this experience is being informed by all of that, and you're not always aware.
Or it goes directly back to your like bowling analogy, where it's like you don't even understand that lane is there, but you're in it.
Well, it's like emotions will shut down certain senses of your body. Like your ability to recognize certain things that are going on that happened that created the emotion to start with. But when you start shutting down and then you overcome with either the anger, and you can also be at times, I think, overjoyous in the wrong emotional direction, and that'd be a bad thing. Because most people, I'm not saying most, from my perception, is that people are chasing sometimes after a drug for that happiness, joy moment, and that's an emotional thing that leads you in the wrong direction.
Oh, yeah, people do that just emotionally. People chase the chemical highs their bodies release when they're angry or when they're this, when they're that. Yeah, absolutely. We chase, you don't have to do drugs. People chase those chemical releases all of the time.
It would be interesting if somebody did a study on somebody lighting up where their brain lights up when they're happy and where their brain lights up when they have joy.
Probably have.
I'd like them to do
that's
a brain
a
study of me.
Thing, though. Then you get into this like complicated what is happiness, what is joy thing.
I'd like them to do a brain study of me because I cannot think, except for my divorce, I cannot think of a day that I haven't woken up my entire life thinking, it's great to be alive. I'm happy. I like me. I like the guy I see in the mirror.
Yeah, it's true.
I'm going to have a great day today. I, except for some days during after my divorce, I cannot think of a day in my life.
Don't try to live inside my head then.
Yeah, stay out, brother.
Warning. So I have a friend.
But I think that's wonderful.
Oh, yeah.
I think that's wonderful. I love that.
That's a very wonderful. And that's the kind of person I would aim to be.
Been great for me.
But my life
drives my wife crazy.
It would drive me crazy.
And my daughters are like, how can you be like this? It's 6 o'clock in the morning. I'm like, this is.
Although I will say this, because I do wake up very early, whether I want to or not. And I usually get up before my darling, lovely husband, who we've just discussed is a dream human being, but also not a morning person. So he'll wake up and I'm like, oh my gosh, you know what? I did this. I've literally been awake at 6 o'clock in the morning, out and glittering a unicorn horn so I can do crafts with my kid, you know? And then Dylan wakes up and I'm like, oh my God, I'm in a little bit. And this one time he did look at me and he was like, babe, you're kind of the most right now.
I swear, listeners, if you could just see us, if we did YouTube, you could see this and you would enjoy this like we do, watching her just.
Oh, yeah. Totally intense.
So wild. It's cool.
My poor husband, I was like, usually.
I can see that.
But I want to get back to this.
I
want to talk about what Sue's
talking
about.
Are you this close to his face when you're telling us, hey, honey, you see this? What? I got this.
I would be if he'd let me. You know what I mean? I would. I would. I would crawl in his pajamas with him, but he's like, get away. He's this one time.
A little bit more than we needed to know.
Well, no, but I'm just saying, like, close, you know, like this one time he looked, it was one time I was trying to help him wake up
camp.
For something, and he goes, don't touch me. I love you. Because he's not a morning. I was like, hey, you gotta get, don't touch me. I love you. It was really funny. But I want to get started reading about because peace.
Breathe.
Peace with self, peace with God, peace with others. Right. We don't have peace with others. Like nationally, in general. You do. Okay. So
as
this
a general population.
But this is
There's always that one guy.
And this is what we're talking about with, we're always talking about with Rick's Facebook page, right? The animosity because what is it? Love the Lord your God. All of the laws can be summed up in this. What did Jesus say? Love the Lord your God with all your heart, mind, soul, and strength, and love your neighbor as yourself. So you have to have peace with yourself, peace with God, and then peace with your neighbor. And that's so challenging to do.
But you don't have to have. All of that's impossible on a regular basis. It is. I'm very, very lucky as a kid. I had a great childhood. My mom was great until the bottle came in. But we had a great, my friends used to, because I used to be the guy that was stressed out, you know, when I was 11. And one day I just decided I need to not be this neurotic. And it took some time, but I worked it out because I figured it out on my own. But my buddies, when something happened and somebody would say something and would just say, blank them if they can't take a joke. And I just taught my daughter that. I'm like, look, blank them if they can't take a joke. And she started laughing her head out because I used that word, the F word.
Oh.
And
I was like, blink at him? No, what? So funny. Yeah. I was like, not picking up, but you were laying down, Ralph.
Blank.
Like,
oh, yeah.
Blank.
Blankety blank. Blank. Blank
them. F them. Okay. If they can't
got
take
you.
A
got
joke.
You. Got you.
And she just started cracking up. I'm like, I'm serious. If these people can't understand where you are and where you're coming from, then who cares?
No, but I mean, I've been having this epiphany of my own self lately, and especially when it comes back to that fight or flight, Sarita, honestly, because my aggression, like, I take everything personally. I think everything is meant to cause me harm.
Oh, you can't do that with me.
I know. Like, but I mean, like, just somebody at the grocery store, like, taking a cart that I was about to grab myself, or like, do you know what I mean? But I think it's that fight or flight. Like, I live in this constant, you know, let me change my language, because your language becomes your reality. I'm working on rearranging my reactions so that I have a kinder, more graceful interpretation of other people.
I have a phrase for you for the rest of your life.
Yeah.
It's not about you.
Right? I mean, and I know this, right? I know this fundamentally.
99% of the time, it's not about you.
Yeah.
I have this TikTok I will send you. Please remind me. It is so good at breaking down why exactly what Ralph just said is the reality. It's like, it's worded so well.
I know. And the thing is, I sit there and tell my kids this all the time. Like, you never know, like, for someone else might be fighting a hard battle or whatever. But like, I just really am kind of at this place.
Oh, this TikTok's better than
where
that.
I'm like, send no, you know, me. I mean, it's really I just will. Like, I don't want to live in this place anymore where I have this assumed malice of everyone's behavior, or where I live in a world that, you know, like, talking about ethics and morals and like what we do and how we enact these laws. Like, don't do these things, but like, whatever. Like, for example, fornication, right? If you are—
That's an American thing.
But if you are a Filipino prostitute that's how you support your family—
Still an American thing. You go to the rest of the world and they're not hung up on sex like—
Well, if you are, or say you're in sex work because you have been human trafficked, and as you're in that experience and you encounter Jesus Christ, it's not like you're going to wake up the next day and not do that stuff anymore, because there's a certain level of agency that you don't have control over. Or like, for example, if you live in an economic situation where you doing that is the way that you provide for your family, you're not going to just wake up the next day, because fruit doesn't grow immediately.
Just
right?
Because society's against you doesn't mean Jesus.
And so I'm trying, like, that's just an example of it. But what I'm trying to say is, like, I'm trying to get to this place where I look at everybody in their process and I go, you know what? Maybe it's not how I would do things. And I'm feeling frustrated because the way that you're enacting, like, the way that you're navigating in this way is like not what I would do, or like causes me some kind of like to feel or think some type of way. I'm trying to get to this place where I'm like, you know what? That's just where you are. That's just your deal. And like, it's not about me. You're on your own path, you know, and trying to just like be at peace with other people. I don't have a problem being at peace with God. I don't have a problem being at peace with myself, although it might seem that way. I'm really. But it's that peace with other people piece.
So I have a friend and her name is Rose, and she told me, she said, when you go places, you either be the person of peace or you seek out the person of peace. And so be the person of peace. If you can't find who the person of peace is, then that's you. And so I think we're going to end it here and pick up with the other ones. I was supposed to try to get through four there. We did not do that. So
one thing Rick and I have talked about on more than one occasion, these things take as long as they take. They just do.
Yes.
It's fine.
Yep. So anyway, thank you all for being here. Andy, Ralph.
Represent.
Rick.
You.
Teasy.
Yay. Someone else is putting the kids to bed.
Yay. So we will see you next time on the Burrows of Berea.
Hey guys, this is Rick from the Burrows of Berea. Do you know how much blood, sweat, and tears it takes to make a podcast? None. But that doesn't mean that it doesn't cost a lot. And so if you guys don't mind, if anybody would like to give to help us with these episodes, it would be great. We'll put out even more content. And if you go to our Patreon page, just search for the Burrows of Berea, you'll get extra notes, extra episodes, and it's pretty much free. A dollar gets you a lot. Thanks, guys.